And you see that we've been in a series like that. And I know some of you are jumping in as visitors among us this morning in the Korean church, but we've been in a series for the last month or so on the book of Job, and I've entitled it, Job is Every Believer. Every believer is represented by Job, questioning God, why is this happening, and so forth and so forth. This message this morning is God's second speech and Job's faithful reply. Now, just for our own English folks here, Pastor Bang asked me if I type out a manuscript for this sermon, which I did, and did you get it copied into Korean? So I'll try to follow it. I'll try. I'm not always the best at following, but I'll do the best I can. What we saw last week in the section before that, in Job 38 and 39, we saw God answer Job the first time. And he answered Job, and I'm not going to go through that whole thing again, but basically we saw last week that God took Job three places. He took him to the planetarium, where you look at the stars and the sky, and he said to Job, did you do that? Could you do that? And then he took Job from there, and I said he took him to the IMAX theater, where he went in an airplane, so to speak, and he looked over all the beauty of the earth, the Grand Canyon and the Rocky Mountains and the ocean and you name it, and said, Job, could you do that? And then the third place he took Job last week was to the St. Louis Zoo. And he went from one animal to another animal to a bird and an animal and said, Job, could you do this? The way I created all these animals, unique, could you? And when it's all finished, Job, there it is in chapter 40. In chapter 40, I put my hand over my mouth, verse 40, verse 4. Job, in response to God's great creation, puts his hand over his mouth. I will say no more. I suggested last week, I'm already away from my script. I suggested last week that if the book of Job had ended here with Job, and he would have been overwhelmed with God's majesty. But the book of Job would not have been part of God's word if the book had ended here. Because then what we would have is a man overwhelmed with the majesty of God, like many religions have, overwhelmed with the greatness of God. So put up and shut up. God is so much greater. And that's true, of course. But it would not have been part of this book. Because when we get now to the second great speech of God, God has another unbelievably great speech. In fact, I would submit to you, it is the heart of all Christian preaching, no matter the language, Christian teaching of what we're going to pick up now. But you've got to follow along, and I'm hoping that by the end of this message, This thing will come back up again at the end. I hope everyone will be able to say, how great is our God. Sing with me. And we'll see if we pull that off a cappella pretty soon. How great is our God. Let's see it in all its beauty here in the book of Job. So, now my first reading, Job 40, verse 6 through 14. Now, remember, Job has his hand over his mouth now. I'm not going to say anything more. God has overwhelmed him. That's where we're at. It's 40. And then, but God is not finished. And here comes his second speech to Job. The Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? And it's almost again, I said last week he was mocking Job, and I still think he, in many ways, he is. Do you have an arm like God's? Can you voice thunder like his? Then adorn yourself with glory and splendor and clothe yourself in honor and majesty. Unleash the fury of your wrath. Look at every proud man and bring him low. Look at every proud man and humble him. Crush the wicked where they stand. Bury them in all the dust together. Shroud their faces in the grave. Then I myself will admit to you that your own right hand can save you. If you can do it, Job, what a savior you are. And you can see where we're going with this. Your own right hand has saved you. And then we get in 40 verse 15 and 41 verse 1, God picks up just two animals, if you will. And the behemoth, look at the behemoth. And then in 41 verse 1, jump to the next chapter. Can you pull the Leviathan in with a fish hook? Now, we're not exactly sure. A lot of scholars have gone all over, and I did reading. You know, we're not exactly sure. The behemoth, we're pretty sure. Most scholars believe is either an elephant or a hippopotamus. Not sure about the Leviathan. Because the Leviathan, when that one comes, if you read through, and we're not going to read it all, I would encourage you to read it. Not now, but read through those chapters. When you get to the Leviathan, it seems like it's one thing, but then pretty soon it talks about flames shoot out of his mouth and that kind of thing. So we're not real sure, but I want to explain to you what I think these creatures stand for. So let's put the pictures up on the wall there, Luke. There they are. The first one, the behemoth, the hippopotamus, the elephant, who knows? And God's point is to, can you tame those, Job? Can you wrestle a hippopotamus and say, nah, I got this thing figured out? Could you stop an elephant, Job? Whatever it is. And then when you come to that Leviathan, I love the way the language is put there with the Leviathan. Can you catch him with a fish hook, Job? On your little rowboat? And you hook a crocodile? It's probably what... Could you hook a crocodile? Actually, in Psalm 104, verse 26, it talks about the Leviathan being frolicking on the ocean. When the sailors go by, they see the Leviathan frolicking on the ocean. Some kind of sea monster, maybe. But we're going to keep it with the crocodile, and you see his teeth there, because it talks about his teeth and his jaws in the Leviathan. And here's the point that he's making there. Could you catch them, Job? I tell you what, Job, if you caught a crocodile with a fish hook and you took him into your little raft, God almost had some tremendous humor. I don't think you'll do it again. I don't think you're going to do it a second time. Because you're going to be the worse for it. You're not going to catch a crocodile with a fish hook. You're not going to put him into the boat and say, well, look what I got. You're not going to pierce his scales. No, you're not, Job. Now, here's the point. You miss this point, folks. Miss this point, and you miss it all the sermon. So put your thinking cap on, and here it is. The behemoth and the Leviathan are used in this chapter as literary figures for evil. Not that a hippopotamus, an elephant, and a crocodile are per se evil. They are creatures God made. But in literature, these two creatures, whatever they be, are figures for evil. And then the message is simply this, then, and it's not that hard to figure out. If you see that these Leviathan and the behemoth are figures of evil, only two of them. He's not running Job through a whole repertoire of the clouds and the birds and the animals and all that. It's just two, just these two, the behemoth and the Leviathan. And when you see that, the question is, can you overpower evil, Job? Can you conquer evil, Job? Can you? If you can, answer me by your right hand. Can you conquer evil? Can you, the evil, with its mighty power and its great strength? So the powerful thrust of God's second speech comes down to this. Job, can you conquer evil? You cannot. But I can, says the Lord. Now you can see. I don't have a lot of time to develop it, but hopefully... Now you can see why with this second speech of God, we'll look at Job's reply in a few minutes, you can see why with the second speech of God, the book of Job is in the Bible. It's not just, oh, how great God is in his creation. It's how great God is in his creation and how great God is in salvation. God can conquer evil. That is the heart of this, of these last, of the second great speech of God. God can conquer evil. And folks, it comes down, Job, can you change the human heart from evil to good? Can you change the sinful human heart, no matter the language, no matter the people, no matter if they're rich or poor, young and old, whatever, can you change Korean people? Can you change English people? Can you change Russian people? Can you change people from Brazil and Mexico and whatever else in Japan? Can you change people, Job? If you can, hooray. But you can't. You can't, Job. And congregation, I just gave you, in just a few minutes, I just gave you a perspective, explanation of the misery throughout all of human history. I just explained Hitler and Stalin and slavery and prostitution and crime and injustice and broken lives. I just described to you the vicious political climate we are in right now in our country. Human hearts are sinful and they cannot be changed no matter what. You can't set up an educational program. You can't come up with a social program. You can't come up with a political agenda that's going to change the human heart. People have tried. They've tried sincerely, and it hasn't worked. You can't do it, Job. I can. I can change the human heart. The sinful human heart. I can change it, Job, and I will. So here you put the two together in a couple fast PowerPoints and here, put the next one up, Luke. I believe in God, the Almighty Creator. Job sees this after God's first speech. Again, I was from here, it was last week's sermon. What is Job's response? And here is God's second speech. I believe in God, the Almighty Savior. Job sees this after God's second speech. And what is Job's response? And here's the second reading. Look at Job's response. And it's not going to take much for me to preach, to ask you. Remember the theme of this, the whole series. Job is every believer. Job is every Christian person. Let me ask you if this is your response to this book. God is Almighty Creator. God is Almighty Savior. One and the same. Both from God. Look at Job's response. When God is done, fundamentally Job caught it. I'm going to conquer evil. Job, you can't. I will. And from our perspective on this side of Calvary and Easter, we know he did. Look what Job's... Then Job replied to the Lord, chapter 40. I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. Amazing, isn't it? Too wonderful that God is Creator and God is Savior. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. And then you get these last two verses. My ears have heard of you. I think that's in the creation. I heard about God in his creation, his revelation in creation. But now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Just a comment on that, because the text stands for itself. It doesn't need a lot of explanation from Pastor Gill or Pastor Bang. My ears have heard of you. But now my eyes have seen you. Now, Job is not saying all of a sudden God appeared to him in physical form. He's saying, now my eyes have seen you. What does it mean? The eyes of faith. Though we have not seen him, we love him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Though we have not seen him, we follow him. And we commit ourselves to him. So I've seen him in faith. And when you see God, Creator and Savior as one, Father and Son through the work of the Spirit, Father and Son, when you see him and you see yourself as you really are, what do? You do what Job did. Repent in dust and ashes. God be merciful to me, a sinner. So I want to put the two speeches together, and you've already got it, I think. You can fill in the blanks. Oh, I should have told you, on the back of the bulletin is a sermon. You could have filled in. Still can. The two reasons we want everybody to be a Christian. Everybody here. Everybody in the circle of our influence, of our lives, our workplaces, we want everybody to respond to be a Christian, is fundamentally for one reason, with two parts. And there you have them again. Put it up there, Luke, and there. God is Almighty Creator. This is His creation that we live in, with the summer changing to fall, and you see the beauty, fall to winter, and all that God has created. He is Almighty Creator, and God is Almighty Savior. The empty cross and the open tomb. There is no other gospel that can save, folks. There isn't. That doesn't mean people aren't sincere. They're sincere in Islam. They're sincere in Hinduism. They're sincere in Mormonism. And many other religions. If you pull in the largest religion of all, they are very sincere in humanism. Man can do it. Man can fix his problems. Man can. Women can. We can. And the Christian gospel comes and says, no, you can't. But God can change the human heart. When the heart is changed, there's a desire to walk in obedience to God. Now, none of us does that perfectly. That's why we keep confessing our sins. But fundamentally, we are changed by the work of the Holy Spirit. When God the Creator and God the Savior make Himself known, and He makes Himself known when the gospel is preached, when the gospel is taught, when people today pick up a Bible, maybe in a Gideon Bible in a motel, or some military compound, someone, the soldiers will he or she will pick up a Bible and chat with people, or in a nursing home, or in a school, or whatever. God works through the Scriptures by the Holy Spirit. He is the Creator. He is the Savior. Here's the genius of the and. We talk about the genius of the and around this church sometime. That's putting two things together. Two things together that they should be miles apart, but they're two things together. The one who speaks in creation is also the one who saves from Calvary. Can you see now very clearly? Let's do it. How great. Okay, Janice, you ready? Just the chorus. Let's do it. A cappella if you know it.
Okay, so the words are,
how great is our God.
Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
How great is our God. Sing with me. I got to lean on other people. Gil, can you carry a tune? No. Others can. I'll finish with these couple comments. And many religions, of course, I kind of alluded to that already, profess God as Creator. They do. But only biblical Christianity has the one who created is also the Savior. The mighty God of creation speaks. Mighty God saves sinners in Jesus Christ. Take 1 minute yet. It's fascinating to me when you watch Jesus. He wrestled it out with his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, Father, is the only way that we can get the gospel down to the nations? The only way that I have to go to the cross? Father, Father, Father! And Father was silent. It's amazing how much silence there is. The Father never said a word to Jesus when he poured his heart out in the Garden of Gethsemane. What did that do? That told Jesus crystal clear, there's no other way. No other way except my right hand outstretched and my left hand outstretched on Calvary's cross. And then when Jesus, and then he settled down. He worked it out in the Garden of Gethsemane with his Father. He knew that's why he came into the world. That's why he was born. Christmas coming pretty quick. Then he stands before Pilate and before Herod, and to both of these powerful men, at a certain point, Jesus never said a word. And it's fascinating to me that when Jesus never said a word before Pilate at one point, Pilate was amazed at what? At Jesus' silence. Jesus was silent, and Pilate was amazed. Here's a guy who's not even speaking for his own defense, because Jesus had wrestled it out with his Father. What Pilate does, Pilate can do. What Herod does, Herod can do. Jesus will go to the cross. And there on the cross, the Father was silent. Oh, he shook the earth. He turned it dark. But he let his Son die. He let his Son die. The greatest evil that ever hit the globe and ever will. Because Jesus dies completely innocent. Not Job, who suffered a great deal, but Jesus suffered and dies, carrying the sins of his people upon himself. And we bring the gospel out. We bring the gospel to the world. That's why we want every one of you to be a Christian. Not just, well, there's some truth in other religions. Hogwash. There is only truth. God the Creator and God the Savior, Jesus Christ, reveals the Father. Let me ask this question, and we'll have you stand for prayer in a few minutes. Have you come to this great God in repentance and faith? The crucial thing is here, not just when you finish with this sermon, when I'm finished with this sermon, for you to leave and say, what was the message about? The message was about God conquered evil. That's true. God conquered evil in Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's it. But you got to personalize it. He conquered the evil in my heart. He conquered the rebellion in my spirit. He changed me from the inside out. Not through politics or education, and I'm not mocking any of that. He changed it through the work of his Spirit, through Jesus Christ. And if you come to Christ in repentance and faith, brothers and sisters, you do what Job did. Repent in dust and ashes. And in faith, you see God. You are like the prodigal son in Luke 15. I will go home and say, Father, I've sinned, and I've sinned against heaven and against you. Make me one of your servants. And in utter humility, seeing our rebellion and folly, our pride and shame, we arise and go to the Father. Is that you, my friends? Is that you? The cry of your heart. In fact, I'll finish with, and we'll put the last thing up. This is going to sound negative, but I don't mean it that way. But I see no hope for the church until her people are filled with this cry. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Never graduate from that. No hope for the church if she's just going to try to change the world through her programs in this. Nothing else matters but to know him, to be in a right relationship to him in Jesus Christ. Amen. Here's the last PowerPoint, and it is our memory verse for. So read it with me. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Why are you not ashamed of the gospel? Because it's what? The power of God. For what? For salvation, right? To whom? Everyone. Who what? who believes. So let's get the gospel out to the nations. And here you have that four or five words. Everything that the gospel is. For in the gospel, here it is, the righteousness of God is revealed. What's the righteousness of God? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God. And through him, we are declared righteous. In him, adopted by faith through Christ alone. We just stand for prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for this amazing and wonderful gospel. And I admit, Father, sometimes guys like me who have been preaching it for years, sometimes just, well, another sermon, another this, another that. God, help me and all people here to stand in awe that you are the mighty creator of all. And the whole creation unfolds according to your sustaining power. And you are the mighty Savior who sent your Son to reconcile sinners and to change hearts so that we can be ambassadors of Christ in the midst of this world. So bless us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.